I've got a few photographs here, compliments of great work, recovery work by Laura. My wife does not know yet that the reason that her computer crashed is because the UCRA takes such fantastic pictures, and they're so detailed that they weighed about, I don't know how many megabytes or whatever they were, but they killed the computer, and so we had to do a recovery, and Laura put it together. But if you'll turn the lights, do I have control of this thing? Or I do. Okay. That's just the bare bones here. And then, what am I shooting at?
You're shooting back up here.
Oh. I didn't get my training. Okay, you can still hear.
This button.
These are just pretty pictures, by the way.
This button goes forward, and this button will
right.
Go back.
Oh, good. All right. Now I got it.
And this button points.
That points. It's a gentle touch. All right. Well, this is a map of the Edwards Plateau, this area where we are located. And let's see if I can cut the pointer. Yes, there we are. We're right here. The river runs due north, and I think those are the springs right there. El Dorado is located here. San Angelo is located right there. This is Dove Creek draining down. It also comes off of the plateau, draining down that way, and there's a large spring there. And then there are springs right here. The main draw of the South Concho drains from here down right past our house. And then there's another draw that comes in just about here from the southwest. And then there's another draw that comes in another direction here from the southeast. So it all sort of meets right at where our house is located, which means that every now and then it's underwater or just above the water level. It's about 25 feet down to the water level of the river from where our house is located, and it gets to be about a quarter of a mile wide there. But that gives you an idea of where this is located. The El Dorado's in Schleicher County. If you go to the east, you're in the San Saba River, and you're in Carolyn's territory there. We're all coming off the same aquifer, apparently, and the Devil's River comes runs southwest off of that same plateau. So that's sort of the source of the resources there. All right, this is the head spring. It's about 100 yards upstream from the house, and you can just walk down, and it's a large hole right there. You can't really see completely. It's not that deep. It's about 5 feet. Most of the water discharge other than this hole is coming out of small crevices, but there are many crevices. There are scores of crevices all along. That's another picture of the head spring. That's a spring. That's one of our little friends, and that's what caused the computer to crash. But this little spring always shoots straight up when it comes up. It's about not quite all the way there right now, but it's still looking pretty good. But after a good rise, and maybe after these rains, we've gotten 4 inches of rain in the last 4 days. That's looking downstream, I think. No, I'm sorry. That's the head of the river. That's looking upstream at the head of the river. And that's where the river ends. My brother-in-law, Joseph Fitzsimmons, first time he came out there to see the place, he said, "Can I go down and look at the river?" And he came back about 25 minutes later, and he said, "That's the first time I've ever walked around a river." That's looking down. That's at what we call the Rock Dam. It's an old irrigation dam just built out of rocks. And you can see the flow of water. That was 2 years ago, and we were looking really good then. And this is about halfway down to that dam, and we call that Split Rock. There's a big old spring that comes out towards the top, and there's another little series of springs right where that crack runs through the rock. This is back up that spring that we took a picture of, or had a picture of before. That's what it looks like a little further away. A lot of switchgrass. All this grass has come in since we fenced this area off, and this has been pretty much fenced off for the last 20 years. Used to have a lot of horses, sheep, whatever happened to be around was down around there, but they're not invited these days. This is Coal Creek. This is the other spring that I was telling you about, set of springs. They're in a deep wood. All of this area's got riparian forest. It's live oaks, bur oaks, and pecans mainly. And right over here, these are really towering trees. I had a PowerPoint, by the way, that was on the crash computer, so it's not here. And I had some great pictures of about a five nest great blue heron rookery, complete with great blue herons. And I couldn't take a picture of the spring at the time because I couldn't, you know, I didn't want to get any closer because they were disturbed. That's just another picture of that area. A lot of people don't expect that in West Texas. People from West Texas don't call this West Texas, so I guess it's okay. So anyway, that's just to give you, I think that's it. Yeah. I'll leave, we'll turn the lights up, so I'll just leave that off on that. And Laura, thank you very, very much for putting that together. What we've got there, this is coming out of the Cretaceous Formation, and it's, as I said, the northern edge of the Edwards Plateau. It is the Trinity Edwards Aquifer, and it feeds... That area feeds the Concho, Dove Creek, Spring Creek, San Saba River, and the Devil's River. We're in the Lapan Kickapoo Underground Water Management District, but all the recharge is in the Plateau Underground Water District, which is Slicker County. So as you can see, about 3 miles or 2 miles south of the springs, we're in another water district, and that makes a lot of sense. That's one of the things we need to look forward to in the future, hopefully, is moving just from the water management areas, underground water management areas, to moving to aquifer-based management, because that's not where we are right now, and there can be differences. Luckily, the Plateau Underground is looking at a sustainable yield basis for water in their area, which is very helpful, but there's got to be a lot of outreach at all times with these different organizations. The spring flow of the river, of the head springs, just the head springs right in front of our house. We got about half the flow comes out right in front of the house, half the flow comes out on the way down to that rock dam and for the river. And then the same as the head springs comes out of Coal Creek, which we never knew. I think my mother, she still doesn't know. I've got to tell her about that. 2005, we had 15 cubic feet per second production, 6,700 gallons a minute, which is equal to 10,800 acre feet per year. And I also figured out that's 35,500,000,000 gallons a year. And that doesn't make any sense to me. And I hope my math is all right, but the computer wouldn't handle it, or my little calculator wouldn't handle it. The spring flow last week was one quarter of that. It dropped off that much, and the head spring right now is barely flowing. And I don't know the reason for that. I mean, we've had off and on rains. Reasonable rains for the last 2 years. It hadn't been unusually dry. We had dry periods and wet periods, but I haven't been able to correlate that yet. So that's going to be interesting. The Angelo State University has used this place for their biological laboratory and research area for the last 40 years. We've had all kinds of students, grad students, professors, people have been in and out of there. Everybody's got a project. They're doing aquatic projects. They're doing riparian projects. There's some little rodents up on a hill that we were doing brush clearing, and my mother said, oh, by the way, you need to call Professor so-and-so because he's got some little characters that are up there along that fence line at the top of the hill. And I said, okay. So we didn't do any clearing in that area, but it's been really neat. Since 1952, the University of Texas has been studying the aquatic life there at the head of the river through Dr. Clark Hubbs, and they're gambusia according to him. They're minnows according to the rest of us. He says minnows are different, but that association was very beneficial to us back then. History of the ranch. There have been people there. Been occupied since 7,000 BC. Again, that's a figure that amazes me, but that's what the archaeological record is. Obviously, it was a center for occupation of Native Americans through all that period. The Jimano Indians were there, sedentary traders were there during the early Spanish period. I think the Apaches ran them out somewhere in the 1750s. The San Saba Mission, which was established up there in Menard, actually the missionaries looked at establishing that, and their evaluation was, do we put it at the head of the South Concho, which they call the Rio Florido, or do we put it on the San Saba? I think about 45 miles of Apaches and rocks and whatever else was there discouraged them, and they decided to do it on the San Saba River. The first white settler in the area was Richard Tankersley, and he settled. He and his family came in, and they settled just by themselves, nobody else around, on the headwaters of the South Concho in the early 1860s. But he was always moving, and he moved on to Dove Creek and then settled ultimately on the Middle Concho. My grandfather bought the place in 1902. He was an Englishman. He came over here. He made a lot of, let's put it, adequate amount of money to buy land. In the horse business, and he was basically raised and, you know, was a horse dealer. And as far as I know, he was honest. But he and his brother partnered together, and both of them got a grub stake enough to buy ranches. He brought the brother bought a ranch on Kickapoo Creek Springs that are in, I believe, they may be in Concho County, but they run into the Concho. And my grandfather bought the head of the river, which was a pasture out of the big old investment program out of St. Louis, and he bought the head of the river pastures, about 9,500 acres. Ultimately, that passed down through my mother, and then she and I are now co-owners of that ranch. And she didn't grow up there, actually. I'm the first person that grew up there out of our family. She lived out of state with her mother, but ultimately they moved back to San Angelo. The ranch was leased for many years after my grandfather died. My mother remarried. I say remarried. My father was killed in World War II, and then she remarried, and my stepfather took over the ranch in 1948. And as he said, it looked like ranching's pretty easy, because he was a mining engineer. And he looked out there, and he said, well, you know, with a little hard work, you can make this work. You just put these cows out, and they eat all this grass. And it rained for 3 years after he took it over, and then the 1950s drought started. And for the next 7 years, we didn't see any rain. Nobody did. And the head springs dried up completely. They were gone. There was no water in front of the house, filled up with gravel, roots, et cetera. Not a drop, barely even any moist. But the springs ran below that, below the house. I mean, you could look below the house and there was water. And those springs never dried up. 1957, it started raining in April. By May, we had a huge flood. Came up under the floorboards of the house. It was about a half a mile wide at that point, flowing water, and the springs obviously came back with that, I spent several summers digging out all the gravel and the roots with a pick and a shovel and a wheelbarrow, and we got it back to the bedrock. It's a bedrock river, and with the big floods that we have, it keeps it scoured out there, pretty much the length of our mile and a half that we own of the headwaters. Okay, challenges. We've had, anybody that owns land has got challenges. We had challenges. Started 1952 with the Texas Game and Fish Commission, I believe is the proper term. Oysters were gone out of that. They had a program called Rotenone Program, and that was to kill the gillfish in a body of water, kill all the gillfish, and then come back and put in game fish. I don't know what those game fish ate, because gillfish go all the way down to the little fellas. And I don't know whether they put restored an ecological balance or what, but they said they were going to kill all the fish in the river. And after I don't know how many months, they gave up and said, they told us, we're going to kill the fish in your river. Doesn't matter what you think, we're going to kill them. And ultimately, they quit and they went home. 1968-71, eighth of a mile from the head springs of Coal Creek, a hog farm was planned. Hog farm went in. Texas Water Quality Board said, wonderful. We said, do you know where you are? Water Quality Board said, well, does it matter? And the net result of that was that they were going to grant a permit with pervious waste pits over probably about 30 feet to the water table, fractured limestone. And the result of that was that with a lot of money, expense, St. Angelo didn't care, private money and expense, lawyers, hydrologists, et cetera, we got them to line the pits with clay and put in monitoring wells. Hurt their feelings. But, and I'm sorry, things have changed. I hope things have changed, but that was back in 1970, 71. Things were a little different. Same period. Had a big drought. Ran out of water. Springs dried up in front of the house. San Angelo ran out of water. The reservoir caught on fire. San Angelo won the Fickle Finger of Fate Award nationwide. San Angelo builds pipeline to reservoir with no water. It was gone by the time. And, you know, they were looking for water. That's fair. There's a population of people. The water is gone. They don't know where to get it. They figured it out. They bought the underground water rights of our neighbor to the south. And right there on our boundary, they put four wells that looked like they were about two stories high. The pumps were. But they had a problem. They could not get the water to a place to transport it without crossing the ranch. And we said, I'm sorry, but we're really not interested. And it was about a year's worth of water war. The entire region from our side was fighting San Angelo, and they reached a compromise. And they put the water, they built a great big clay pipe, and they ran it from the wells to the head of the river, and they're going to run the water down the river. So we were going to have an artificially inseminated river. No springs. Well, divine intervention, and truly was divine intervention. 2 weeks before they started pumping, it rained 16 inches over the whole watershed within about 2 weeks. And it was a moot point, and ultimately they just released their water rights. I guess they just leased them. They didn't buy them because they don't own them anymore. 1992-93, 6,000 cow dairy farm planned for 5 miles south. That's up aquifer, 90 feet to the water table, fractured limestone. Asked the guys at the Water Quality Board, I said, is there any place you can put a dairy farm other than here? And he said, sure, we can put it out on Lapan Flats. It's gravel. It's everything, you know, I'm sorry, I'm losing my vocabulary, but anyway, it'll clean out. City of San Angelo finally figured out that wasn't a good idea either. 6,000 cows, dairy farm is equal to a town of 15,000 people with no sewer system. Ultimately, we just ultimately discouraged, made these people feel unwelcome. They were from California anyway. And they went away. They left. Well, now we've been, and this isn't to get into a religious matter, but we have now 8 miles to 10 miles south. I can't remember because I haven't measured it. We have the polygamous community with Warren Jeffs. Now, we don't know that Warren Jeffs was there. We have these people, and they're, you know, law-abiding, nice people to a certain extent. They had no permit. They had no plan. They never applied for a permit to discharge waste. Finally, TCEQ got their attention and said, by the way, and they said, oh, well, here's our application for a permit to discharge treated waste into the main draw of the South Concho, which means it'll either run down in front of our house, and I mean not just our house, into the river, or it will hit the recharge features that are in the draw, and it will go straight into the aquifer and come out in the springs. Luckily, after we got everybody together, all the neighbors, et cetera, we got UCRA, San Angelo, Tom Green County, Lapan Kickapoo Water District. Everybody got together on that one. These people probably felt like they were being ganged up against, and they got a no-discharge permit. But this is what having a place, you know, having this resource, and I don't mean just me, I mean us, I mean the community, the world we live in. These are the things that you have to, these are the struggles you have to face. And so I'm telling you a lot about the past, and there is a future. But these are the kind of things that are out there. And we don't even have a lot of development there yet. Cristobal's turning into the burning of San Angelo. But they haven't gotten up aquifer yet. They're all down aquifer so far. What have we done on the ranch? One of the things we've never done is irrigate from underground water. We have about 100 acre feet that we take out of the river. We irrigate 50 acres. We've got a bunch of dry land farm. We have never irrigated. I asked my dad when I was a kid, I said, how come we don't put in some permanent pasture? We can put one cow per acre if we did that. And he said, well, yeah, you could do that, but you wouldn't have any springs. And I said, oh, I never thought about that. But that was, you know, a lot of people did in different places. We did not do that. Riparian buffer program with the NRCS, that's part of the, it's a CRP. We've done that. We already had part of the riverbank fenced, but not enough. And it's amazing. 2-3 years down the line, you've got incredible growth along the riverbank. I mean, all kinds of things that I never saw. I mean, grass was always about that high, if it wasn't that high, where the cows water. And now we've got switchgrass, and it's that high. So these things make a difference. Rotational grazing, sort of modest, but we've got the ranch leased. I'm not operating it, but we've got a heck of a good lessee, and they don't overgraze. They really don't. They understock the ranch, really, and we're blessed. Brush control, we've done a lot of brush control. We've done mechanical brush control. We push cedar with bulldozers. We've chained mesquite. We were in the Concho brush control program 2004 and 5. We did 2,200 acres there. That wasn't enough. But it's a challenge. That's something you just got to keep doing continuously. We have not done any burning yet, although we had a great burn last year. It cost 3 miles of fence. 3 miles. But the neat thing was, 2 weeks after, literally to the hour, that the other fire went through the place, and I was there on a Sunday afternoon. My daughter and I were there, and there were little what I call silver dollar showers floating around. This isn't relevant to the springs, but it is. It started raining, and it rained for about 2 months after that. We got, I mean, it was fantastic recovery in this area to see this. Burned over completely and see what it did. But that's, these are all things, these are range management activities, trying to be stewardship on the place. And it's tough for me because I'm long distance and I work full time in San Antonio, but we get it done. What are we going to do in the future? More brush control. We're looking real hard at a conservation easement. And, you know, a lot of people have to think pretty hard about it. I've always been in favor of them. I've known about them for a long time. I think it's a good thing. And I'm looking at it to conserve that area. I've got 3 kids. They all believe in it. They all think it's a good idea. And so that's what we're looking at. Outreach to local landowners. One thing I think we've heard all through these discussions, and that is communication, education, outreach. And I think that's incredibly important. I'm trying to do that. I go home many weekends, and I have a list of people, and I don't have a long enough list yet, of people to call, people to talk to, people to get together in the same room. We're starting to get something done, I think. They don't know. Not everybody knows. A few people do. We're trying to get those river landowners together, and then we're going to be working on this watershed. And I haven't done that yet, but I think there's a great future for that. Promote aquifer-based UWMDs, not WMDs, but UWMDs. Anyway, get those water management districts. Future challenges, population and development, that's coming to our area. I mean, I've got broken up land on 2 sides of the ranch. We're sort of that. And, you know, really we've been, because we're along a river, it's been settled south, north of us, towards just right on our boundary. It's been small holdings from there all the way to Cristobal. It has been for the last 120 years. We can't do anything about that, and there are good people there. Water marketers, that's a threat. I can't control that. City of San Angelo, I don't think, wants to get into this aquifer anymore on our part of it. Water marketers have no idea what could happen there. And we're half a mile from Highway 277. We're a mile from 277, but one of the springs is half a mile. And we've got a big double-barrel shotgun looking at us called the Ports to Plain Highway. And that's something I don't know if you all have heard about, but if you think the corridor, the Texas corridor, is going to be fun, This thing is coming from Canada through Denver, Lubbock, San Angelo, and down to the border. And it's going to be 1 mile from our house. And our house is right at the Head Springs. So these are things that we've got to look at, think about, and don't quit. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Howard. That was really interesting. Could listen to that kind of stories all day. All the challenges that real land stewards face in this.